to its knees and collapse before vanishing completely. Startled, I jump up and gasp dramatically. The clan all falls silent, look at me, then each other, and burst out in laughter. The real storyteller is still there. When everyone has finally settled down, she goes back to where she left off, being the uncanny yet harmless bear to everyone's delight. I think about explaining myself to the rest, but I can't be bothered. It would be hard to explain anyway. Frustrated, I lie back down, close my eyes, and think about my friend, the starcatcher. He left so long ago to try and catch the stars and never came back. I miss him. I let out a rumbling groan. I'm not sure how long I was with the psychic. Outside her door, I look at my wristwatch to check the time. Irrationally, it is still 5:17. I slowly push the door open and go back inside. When she emerges from behind the dirty curtain exactly as before, she looks different. Something has changed about her. She has three very thin legs, silver, metallic, and rigid. Madame Yvonda doesn't have a torso or arms anymore. I'm not even sure she is truly human. Her head is black, matte, and rectangular, with gray button-like ears on the sides. On top of her rectangular head, in place of her blonde highlights, is a grayish, cream-colored, pretzel-shaped case with the inscription Panaflex branded deep into her unlikely skin. She has what would appear to be a single eye, like an ancient cyclop from the gaping hollows of a legend. It comes forth from the rectangular box head and has three divisions that get bigger incrementally. At the end of her eye cylinder is a glossy large lens capsule, no iris or lashes. Unlike before, her gaze is very intense this time. I feel self-conscious under it. I fix my hair and reapply my lipstick. I slightly cock my head seductively. This is the real me, traveling in the arms of the angel of history. I look into her all-seeing sacred eye and say, "Tell me my future. I want to be told." She moves towards me and comes right in for my close-up. I look into the technicolor glass, deep into the mythical black void behind it, where my dreams are recorded and made real. There I see the future from beyond the horizon, beyond the vanishing point, and into time I am sent. I really am. And I see all these world makers and destroyers. My knees grow soft, and my head is all cloud. It sounds so wonderful, it really does. I see further still, till there is no flesh, no blood, no skin, but an entire recorded world. Real people, real spaces, real horror, real love, undying, caught beyond time, saved from the forever occurring apocalypse, intact in these godless and godlike technologies. I see the end of time. White light, black hole, where it grinds to a halt, like an obsolete beast of industry. And for an attosecond, everything freezes, like a liquid nitrogen fountain that gushes forth from an ineffable, unknowable pit. The sudden force of it fractures all into hundreds of thousands of small, small frames, which then mysteriously freeze in mid-flight. Naked, dangerously sharp, and impossibly still for me to see truly for the very first time. Crystalline particles caught in the rapture of ecstasy, instants before complete annihilation. All then buckles and collapses under the weight, the horror, and the bottomless beauty of the golden glow of this still frame nowness. Time, like an animal, like a lover, then moves again, but in reverse, and goes backwards through it all, back to the very beginning, to black hole, white light. A new world, a vanishing world of anti-memories, which unfurl and recoil like overcome anemones into a never-ending, indifferent nowhere. On that impossible threshold between the solid street and that flexing, oscillating, inchoate territory that lies beyond Madame Ivanda's door, or beyond Madame Ivanda herself, whatever she or that door may be, I feel wonderful, relaxed about the radio play. And now I think that dying in that studio will be a piece of cake. I again look at my watch, 5:17, and go back in one last time. Madame Ivanda has changed again. She's pretty unreliable, to tell you the truth. This time she is wearing a beautiful red dress. I sure wish y'all could see it. She really does look good enough to eat standing in front of that microphone. She has long butterscotch hair, and her lips are redder than red, slightly parted as she waits to commence. She looks stone-like, powerless, beautiful like marble from a memory, like a miracle. It's a miracle, I tell you. I approach her slowly and say, "Tell me my true self. I want to be told. You are being played by the beautiful actress Maya Lubinsky. She has a dreamlike voice, kind of dirty, like candy from paradise, baby. The artist particularly enjoys hearing her say these words: blueberry, milkshake, Playboy, and Hollywood, Hollywood, Hollywood." Picture this, like the miracle light beam from the soft dough hills of California, you are future perfect self. You are the wonder machine. You are here, always, recorded, reproduced, reflecting in endlessly colliding mirrors. An immaculate object, almost flesh-like, performing on the spotlit stage of our spellbound minds. You are the stuff of myth and legend, flawless zeros and ones, delivered into fireworks spectacle. Fictional. Heroine. Heroine. Anti-heroine, created by the artist on a Word document titled radio.doc. You are a permanent object, possibly predetermined and infinitely confined within a fiction that spans 35 minutes on a radio show called Milky White Light, Inky Black Hole, encrypted, made godlike on the 11th of September, 2010. A transmission, I repeat, a transmission. You manifest for 35 minutes. You are make-believe that narrows into the point where it stops being make-believe and crosses at the reality access and opens and spreads into beyond the real, where fantasy is inverted and it scratches the surface of the bottomless pit. That just isn't true. What about my memory, my mother, my eyes? Look, I can say what I like. Werewolf, high-rise, diamond, heart of exploding supernova, stars, James Dean, I don't love you anymore. Midnight Motel, Axl Rose, I made all that up. These are my words. No, they aren't.